Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, if you are just joining us this morning, we're finishing up 3 weeks. We've done two already. And we're finishing 3 weeks on a series called Foundations of a Forerunner Ministry. And what we've been trying to do is, these last couple of weeks, and then today as we'll kind of wrap up, we've been talking about the importance of what the Forerunner Ministry is and how it looks, what it is, and how it operates, and why it's important for us as a church to be engaging with the storyline that's unfolding in this generation. We believe, as we've been looking at the last couple of weeks, we believe that we're living in the decades. I don't know how long. Is it one decade or five? I don't know. But we believe that we're living in the decades before the Lord returns. And as a church that's alive in that generation, we want to be those that are responding, that are living according to what the Word says that's important for that generation to be paying attention to. You know, one of the pictures that I gave us in a previous week was, if you were living just 5 or 10 years or even 20 years before World War II and you were living in Germany, there were things that you could have been focusing on preparing your heart for as a believer that would have been immensely helpful when the Great Trouble broke out in the nation of Germany and, of course, all over. There would have been things that, if the Holy Spirit was leading, that would have been of great benefit to be focusing on, and things that really didn't matter quite as much. They maybe mattered in other generations, but man, in that hour, there were just some things that really needed to be prioritized. And we believe that we're in a similar hour, actually one far greater. And that is that the Scripture talks about the time when Jesus is going to return. And that's, if you don't know this phrase, the return of Jesus is called our blessed hope. That's how the New Testament refers to the return of Christ, our blessed hope. It's the thing, as believers, every Christian is believing, that Jesus not only died and he rose again, but he's coming back to the planet. Jesus is returning. It's called our blessed hope. And so I think, actually, by not giving any attention to the return of the Lord, we actually rob ourselves significantly of the power that rests on that hope that's related to the coming of Jesus, because that's how this story goes. Jesus came a first time actually so that he could come a second. I mean, that's actually what this is all about. And so we're just trying to figure out, what does it mean to be alive in this generation, and how do we process this, and why are we called Forerunner Fellowship? What in the world does that even mean? And so we've been looking at a couple of different weeks, and I want to encourage you, if you're new this morning, you're jumping in on part three, and I'm sorry, because it's a little tough to jump in on part three. But I'm going to continue, because I think this is important for us as a congregation. I'm going to just continue right in the flow of where we've been the last couple of weeks and not do any more recapping. I'm just going to kind of jump in to what I think that we're supposed to be focusing on this morning. So the past couple of weeks, we focused a session on what is the Forerunner Ministry. We focused a session on why is the Forerunner Ministry. And this morning, we're going to kind of do like a how. What does it look like? Or how do we partner as a Forerunner Ministry? What does that look like in this hour? And how does that flesh out? So some of the questions that we're going to hopefully touch on this morning or answer is, why do we even need to be having this conversation? What does the Forerunner Ministry look like in this hour of history? What are we going to do about it? What's our part in this story? And I don't think that we have complete answers to any of this. And I want to be just upfront with you about that. I don't think that I've got the clarity. I don't think our church has the clarity. I think that we're kind of beginning a dialogue. And it's one that we're going to need to spend some time on. And I don't mean a long series. I mean a long decade. Or, you know, I mean, it's like, I think it's something that we need to keep in the conversation for quite some time in order to get some clarity on it. But I think that the Lord sees our honest reach and our openness and receptivity to the fact that we're not all that clear on what it means. What is a Forerunner Ministry? How do we be a Forerunner Ministry? I don't think we have those answers, but because we're willing to enter into the dialogue, I think that the Lord will give us more. I think that he'll help us, because that's what he does. He gives grace to the humble. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives generously without finding fault. And that's kind of where we're at as a congregation right now. And so a big point of what we're trying to accomplish really in this three-part series, if I just have to be honest, I want to create a little bit of a stirring. I want to create a little bit of an ache we don't have enough clarity to give us all the answers. So I would prefer we walk out with a bunch of questions, that we've got to go on a journey together, individually, talking to the Lord, dialoguing in our small groups and whatever else. What does it look like? What does this mean? How does this look? How does this affect us in this hour? I think if we can walk away with carrying those questions in our heart in a more substantial way than we were 3 weeks ago, then this series has been successful. So you're like, what's the bottom line? Getting us asking questions. Getting us with a little bit of context, which is what we've covered the last couple of weeks. Getting us starting to ask some questions of the Lord. What does this look like? What do we do? How do we respond? What is this? What's being asked of us in this hour? And my hope is that we would be aiming for understanding the plan of God for our generation so that we could partner with it. It would be a tragedy. I don't want to stand before the Lord and have done 100 things right but missed the plan of God for the generation we're alive in. I've done so many things right but missed like what God was up to in the hour that we were living on the planet. Well, that's just... it's kind of like half of the story, you know? We're all really good at the main and the plain. We're all really, it's the reason we spent 35 weeks on the Sermon on the Mount. You know, I mean, we've got the idea of Christianity, of loving God, of the Great Commission. We've got those things as at least as a starting point, but none of those touch on what is God doing in 2020 and 2030 and 2040 if we're given 2040. What is God doing in this generation? What is the church being called to in this hour? I want for us, as another part of this series, I want for us to start to wrestle with our lack of understanding. You know, if you don't know you don't know something, you're not much thinking about it. But once you're alerted that there's some things you don't know, you can either choose to move on and not and pretend like you didn't hear anything, or you can wrestle with the ache, wrestle with the lack and go, this is something I'm not real confident in. This is a subject matter I don't really feel too equipped in. I don't really understand. I maybe know some broad strokes, but I don't know how to answer anybody's questions. I don't have any clarity on what to do about it. I mean, I know a few Bible verses, but I don't actually know what to do about it. I want for us to wrestle with our lack of understanding, and then hopefully out of the overflow of this, respond and start to develop a rich history in dialoguing with the Lord about what he's doing in this generation. Doesn't that just sound like a safe phrase? Dialoguing with the Lord about what he's doing in the generation that we're alive in. That's like the safest thing ever. Unless, of course, you find yourself living in the generation right before he comes back. And then it's still the safest thing ever, but my goodness, the conversation might just shift a bit. I just want to be prepared. And as a shepherd, I want to help prepare us. I want to get us thinking and dialoguing. And so again, we're doing 3 weeks. We're ending today. And then tomorrow, you know, next week, we move on to miracles. So it's like we're not really spending that much time here because honestly, I need for a bunch of you in this room to get a bit of a holy bother about you. I need you to get holy bothered and get stirred up a little bit and go, I don't really understand this stuff. This is something that I need clarity on. I if this is true, here's kind of a bottom line statement. If what we've been talking about is true, if we're living in the generation that the Lord's going to return, again, a generation... 10 years, 50, I don't know, but not 100 anymore, okay? And not 5, it's not that quick. But if it's sometime in this generation, what does that mean for our lives? How do we live the same as the generation before us if the future looks so different than the future looked for the generation before us? How do we live in light of eternity? How do we live in light of these things if this is true? Well, I want to give us a couple of thought processes, and some of this is just kind of plumb lining what we mean when we say forerunner fellowship. I want to give us just a few thoughts about some of the stuff that we believe as a church. First of all, we believe the Bible. We believe the B-I-B-L-E, all of it. And so we hold to the Word of God, so we're not like some group that believes something different. We believe the Word, okay? But we believe that the stuff that we've been talking about, that Jesus is actually going to come back, and that there's really going to be a people on the planet when Jesus comes back that are going to feel just as ill-prepared as you do. There's really a group, there's a generation that Jesus is coming back, because that's what the Bible says. The same Bible that tells me how to get saved is the same Bible that tells me Jesus is coming back in the sky. All right, so I believe the Bible. We as a church believe that Jesus is coming back. We believe that this stuff is real, and we believe that preparation for what's coming takes effort, takes time, and takes focus. If what we've been talking about is real, it's going to take time, effort, and focus to try to get our heads around it, to try to get our spirit engaged in it, to try to get us as a congregation tracking with what the Lord's doing in this generation. Next point, we believe that there's a growing relevance of the signs of the times. If you guys don't really know that term, the signs of the times, it's a term that Jesus used. And he was describing, amongst other things, he was describing the hour before he comes back, there are going to be certain things that he said, this will happen, this will happen, this will happen, and this will happen. And there are actually global trends that he identified. These things are going to happen, and then you'll know when these things start to happen, you'll know without a shadow of a doubt, that's the generation I'm coming back to. We're seeing those trends happening in the earth. That's one of the reasons I've got confidence about the hour that we're living in, not because I'm good at, you know, navigating internet prophecies. I would encourage you to stay away from all that nonsense. I would encourage you to know what the Bible says. And Jesus said, when you see these signs, you can know that the Son of Man is coming. That's the generation that I'm going to return to. We believe that there's growing trends in the earth, growing signs that Jesus identified, that those signs they're still not fully discerned yet. But as they continue to increase, more and more people in the body of Christ are going to be paying attention because they've got the same Bible that you and I do. And they're going to be looking at it, and then they're going to be looking at the news, and they're going to be looking at it again. They're going to go, dang, it's real. We believe that there are mile marker moments in the future. I mean, in the next decade, two, three, whatever the time period. We believe there are mile marker moments where the church is going to be increasingly alerted to the hour of human history that we're living in. Because God's coming for his church. Jesus is returning for his church. He wants his church engaged in the storyline. It's the reason we were given the signs of the times and so many other details is so actually that the church could be partnering with Jesus in his purposes and his plans for the last generation. We believe there are moments in the future that you're going to witness. You'll see it on your television. There are moments in the future where the signs of the times are going to hit in such a way that whole masses of the body of Christ are going to become alerted to the fact we're actually living in the generation that the Lord's returning. Now, I don't want to wait for God to have to do a level 10 sign. I want to be discerning of a level 1 and go, well, it's the same. I mean, it's the Lord's increasing. He's escalating. I want us for as a congregation to be those that are paying attention a little earlier in the storyline instead of having to wait till we're way into the deal to figure things out. Furthermore, we believe that there are going to be significant moments for the prayer movement that's growing in the earth related to those signs of the times. Significant moments where the Lord is increasing, just like he's going to be highlighting the hour that we're living in based off those signs of the times. We believe that the Lord is going to be increasing the value, the receptiveness of the church to the whole concept of night and day prayer. So the whole concept of a praying church, the concept of a prayer movement, the concept that we don't just go to church, but we are engaged as the priesthood of believers in the place of prayer, in the place of corporate prayer. We believe there are moments where things are going to happen and the church is going to fall to our knees and see the value of prayer in an increasing measure. We believe that these moments are coming in the future. And so again, we don't want to wait until a level 10 event occurs in our nation and now we ought to pray. We don't want to wait for a 9/11 moment to start praying. We don't want to wait for those tragedy moments in order to get our attention. We want to be paying attention to the level 1 issues. And what the word says, where Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. We want to be paying attention to what the word is saying so we don't have to be shocked by a level 10 reality. We could actually become a place that had just a little bit of clarity because we were paying attention 5 minutes longer, just 5 minutes early. We were paying attention just a minute ahead of time that we would have a little bit more clarity about what's going on and actually be able to help supply some answers to those that are going to be looking for answers as things pick up in intensity. Well, in the same line of thinking, we believe revival is coming. The big one. The word prophesies that there will be the greatest number of souls brought in the final generation than at any time in human history. And We're looking at a season where Reinhard Bonnke just passed, and the estimated number was that dude was responsible for bringing 80 million people into the kingdom of God in his lifetime. 80 million, the most profound evangelist in the history of the earth, and he just passed. And we're talking about a great harvest that will far surpass that. Now, once again, there are going to be moments where that becomes overt. There are going to be moments where these things are obvious and everybody's going, there's a great harvest. We're in revival. God's doing something. I don't want to wait for a level 10 great harvest revival moment to start believing that God's going to bring the great harvest and bring revival. The Word of God says he's going to do it. I want for us to start engaging now. Lord, what does it look like to start sowing into that revival that's coming? What do we do to posture our hearts to get ready for the revival? You know, so many times, and even in Jesus's generation, and the concept of the signs of the times, one of the things that he rebuked the leaders of the religious community in that hour, and he said, you did not perceive the hour of your visitation. He was talking about how blind they were. The Bible prophesied, these things are going to happen, and then the Messiah is going to come, and now Jesus, as the Messiah, is going, I'm here right now, and you're missing me while you're staring me in the eyes. You're missing what your Bible's prophesied was going to happen because you didn't pay attention to the signs. I don't want to be on the receiving end of that rebuke. I want to pay attention to what he says. Listen, I'll tell you this. I believe this wholeheartedly. This Bible is true. And there are many times where my emotions are lying to me. There are many times where the news is lying to me, where my friends might be lying to me, but the Bible never will. The Word of God is our foundation. The Word of God is the source that's telling us about all this stuff that's coming. I'm not talking about paying attention to the news or to the this or to the latest trends. I'm talking about what the Word says. But we've got to know what the Word says. Now, we believe, just another kind of point in this, that our labors are going to make sense in time, but that they're going to be misunderstood for a minute. You know, any people in the Word of God that were paying attention to what God was about to do, not what he had done, not what he was obviously doing today, but any of those in the Word that were paying attention to what the Holy Spirit was whispering that he was about to do, they seemed a little goofy for a minute because it wasn't commonly understood that that's what God was doing because he hadn't started doing it yet. And so I want us to know that our labors, there's a moment where wisdom will be justified. There's a moment in the future where what our efforts now to believe the Word and go, revival is coming. So how do we ready ourselves? How do we ready our church? How do we ready our small groups? How do we ready our leaders for the fact that revival is really coming to the earth? How do we ready ourselves as a church that Jesus is actually coming back to the planet? How do we ready ourselves that great difficulty is coming to the planet? That's what the Word says. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible I don't like. It's okay to not like it so long as you believe it. There's a lot of stuff I read, and I'm like, can we just take that page out? Like, for real, Jesus, that is so intense. But we can't. It's in there. We want to be faithful to the Word. There's so much of what the Word says about what is coming that we want to learn how to partner with, and that we believe that if we're in the conversation just a little bit ahead of time, we not only can be engaged in what the purposes of the Lord are, we can also help be a lighthouse. We can help be useful to so many. Just picture this for a second. I'm going to make up some time frames. This is all totally made up, okay? Let's say we're 10 years away from the greatest revival in human history, okay? But let's say that also happens when the greatest measures of judgments and difficulties that our nation's ever faced are also happening simultaneously, okay? Let's say we're 10 years out. Wouldn't you feel a lot more prepared to help your friends if we're talking about it for the next 10 years? And we get to that moment, and now this is not new information. It's information you've been anticipating and discerning in the Spirit because you're people of prayer. You go to the Lord in prayer, and you're dialoguing with him about the Bible. You're dialoguing with him about ideas. He's helping increase your confidence and your understanding and your clarity. You're getting more engaged in the God story of our generation. And now, 10 years later, again, made up time frame, you find yourself living when the things are happening. Things are going down, but you've got 10 years of history, of talking to the Lord about it, of dialoguing in the Word, of being in relationship, so that things begin to start happening on the global scene, and you go with so many that are part of a company of people that have been running with you. We know what to do. We've got some clarity on this. And now stuff starts hitting, and everybody, not everybody, but many people in the body of Christ are totally freaked out and unprepared. Unprepared not because they're bad, but unprepared because they hadn't spent 10 years thinking about it. How helpful could you be in that hour to be able to provide some answers? I don't mean you're brilliant, but anybody that's been staring at something for 10 years has got something to say, you know, in that hour. I think the scenario is a lot like that. The time frames, who knows? Maybe we don't have that long. Maybe we got more. But there are some significant things that the Lord wants to do in this generation while you're alive on the planet that require our attention, that require our preparation, that require our engagement. We are a forerunner church. We believe that there are many commissions in the body of Christ. We believe that the Lord calls one ministry and says, you must continue to do the main and the plain. You've got to love your neighbor, love the Lord your God. You've got to do the Great Commission. But also, this ministry over here, your job is to make all of your energy towards orphans. I want you to put a ton of energy towards orphans. And then there's another ministry. And the Lord speaks to that ministry and says, listen, you need to be working with all of your might in addition to the main and the plain, in addition to the Great Commission and to love the Lord our God with all our hearts and minds. In addition to that, you need to be pouring all of your energy into racial reconciliation. And I'm going to anoint you to do it. And the Lord speaks to another ministry about this and another ministry about that. That's how the body of Christ works. It's very helpful that the Lord doesn't have carbon copies of every ministry. Okay? So there's 6,000 churches in the DFW area. It's an estimate. 6,000 churches, and all of them are just robots that just do the things the same way. We just all do that. That's unhelpful. It's wisdom from the Lord that this ministry would be good at something, and this ministry would pour its energy into something else and be good at something. And this that's the wisdom of God. We believe in the unique commissions of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the purposes of the Lord in a generation. We know ours. We're to be a forerunner ministry. We're to be thinking about what's coming. We're to be giving our focus on it, and maybe we won't be awesome at it, but we're sure going to try. We're going to put some energy. We're going to try. We're going to invest. So this actually provides some parameters for us as a church about what we do and what we don't do. There's like 10,000 awesome things we don't do. In fact, there's probably 20,000 awesome things. And there are 20,000 awesome things we would high-five. We'd even pray for, but we just don't have the energy to put into those things because we're supposed to be putting our energy into something very narrow that the Lord gave us. We're supposed to be doing our best to engage in the conversation of what the Lord's doing in this generation. If you just need a phrase, what is the forerunner ministry? Fully engaged in what the Lord's doing in that generation. That's about the safest way I could say. I mean, that's a simple, just really easy. Trying to be on board with, partnering, engaging. What is the Holy Spirit trying to accomplish in 2020, 2030, and 2040? Like, what are you doing on the planet right now? What are you doing in Arlington right now? We want to know, and we want to do it with you. We want to be about what you're doing. We've been invited into that increased partnership and that increased measure of engagement in the storyline. I want you to kind of ask yourself a question. And this isn't condemnation. It's just kind of self-assessment related to the conversation we're having right now. Do you feel engaged in the end time storyline? Do you feel engaged? Do you feel like you're in it? Do you feel like you're dialoguing with the Lord about it? Do you feel like you're understanding what in the world the end time storyline is? If that phrase just seems like the most bizarre thing ever, just go ahead and check no. Not engaged in the end time storyline. That's okay. Let's just get started. Let's just take steps. We're not awesome. We're just trying to take steps. But I just want to get you thinking. Do you feel like you are engaged, like trying to dialogue with the Lord, dialogue with the Bible, dialogue with people, order your life a little bit, like the Lord is actually coming back in this generation? Because we believe that. And again, I don't know timing. But really, honestly, I would way prefer we've got 60 years instead of 10. That would be way better because then it's on the burden of my kids instead of me. I would way rather be trying to prepare my children than actually having to like carry the... But whether it's us or our kids or their kids, we're a minute away. I mean, really, when you talk about the timeline of human history, we're a minute away. It's time to start getting clarity on this stuff. Well, we want to manage our hearts in this process, and I'll just give you a couple of things that I think are helpful. And I told you a minute ago, I think there's a measure of just being misunderstood. And that's okay, but you don't want to get like a, you know, a defensive complex or whatever, like feel alone and isolated, okay? First thing, we're not in this alone. While there may not be any other churches down the street called Forerunner Fellowship, that doesn't matter. That means nothing. There are definitely other ministries that we know of, that we were in great relationship with, that love the Lord, that are humble and they're servants and they're trying to do great things for Jesus. We know lots of ministries that feel this same calling. So while there may not be one, you know, within a mile of walking distance from here or whatever, that doesn't mean that there aren't others. You just imagine Elijah and his complex that he got, you know, and he's like, I'm the only prophet. And the Lord's like, nobody. I'm not that bad of a leader. I am not that bad at leading the kingdom of God that you're the only prophet out there. I've got others hidden just like you that you don't know about. Well, we actually know about them. Thank you, Jesus, for the internet. That helped us out, all right? We can find them. And we've got relationship. We've got deep relationships. So first thing, we're not alone in this. So where you might feel like, gosh, this is a weird journey to be on. This is an interesting dialogue to be having. There are ministries all over the earth right now that are raising up in this generation feeling the same urgency, feeling the same measure of, we got to get involved in this conversation. We got to understand what the Lord's doing. And they feel a little weird and a little bit out of place. And they're all over the earth. Second, it doesn't make us any better. That is a dumb idea. That arrogance, that pride, it's unhelpful and it's inaccurate. If the Lord calls you to orphan ministry and you don't do orphan ministry, you're in sin. If the Lord calls you to dental work and you don't do dental work, you're in sin. If the Lord calls you to move to wherever and you don't, you just follow the Lord. We're just following the Lord. We just do what the Lord gives us, like follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And so that's all we're doing. We're just doing our part. And every part is valuable to what the Lord's accomplishing, so we're not any better. Next, we're not forerunners because the title of our church says so. You're not a forerunner because you go to Forerunner Fellowship. You might be a little bit more exposed to the conversation because you go to Forerunner Fellowship, but that doesn't make you a forerunner. Forerunner is not a building. It's a state of mind. Forerunner is a thought process where you're going, I want to be engaged in the purposes of God for my generation. If that's real about you, then you're a forerunner. That's what a forerunner is. They're engaged in the purposes. They're thinking about what's coming, not just what happened yesterday. But it does take a little extra energy, right? I mean, it's way easier to just live thinking about what's already occurred and what's happening right now, to put additional emotional energy into what is the Holy Spirit saying about the next 10, 20, 30 years for our nation, for our city, for that takes extra energy. Yeah, that's the rub. You got it. That's the forerunner. And I want to stress again, part of the struggle of this, that I want to be understanding from your standpoint. Part of the struggle of this is, we don't have that much clarity right now about what this means. And that's kind of painful because while we're supposed to be engaging in the plan, we're supposed to be engaging in the purposes of the Lord, engaging in the conversation, we don't have that much clarity yet. So we're saying, come engage in the plan. You go, great, what do we do? And we go, yeah, what do we do? That's a great question. Good, good. Glad you've got observation skills. What do we do? Why don't you pray about that and get back to me tomorrow? But that's where we start. You got to start somewhere. So I don't want to claim that we've got like great understanding about this. We have great urgency that we don't have understanding about this. And that it's the hour for somebody somewhere to start getting understanding. So that's kind of part of the difficulty of it is this is a bit nebulous. And some are like, what are we even talking about? I want you to start praying and asking the Lord, what do we do as a fellowship? And what do we do as individuals to start engaging with the plan of the Lord in this generation? Because we desperately want to start finding ourselves in the narrative. And it takes a little bit of work, and it's not immediately clear. I'll give you a verse out of Isaiah 40. This is a verse prophesying about two generations. Isaiah 40, 3 through 10, is prophesying about John the Baptist. But even more than John the Baptist, it's prophesying about the end of the age and those that would go before the Lord, okay? just as a point of reference, one of the reasons the Jews were so mad at Jesus is he was claiming to be the Messiah, but he wasn't doing any of the Messiah stuff in their mind. He wasn't doing any of the stuff that the Bible said he's going to come and he's going to judge the enemies of God. He's going to come and he's going to become king over the whole planet. He's going to come and he's going to deal with unrighteousness. He's going to deal with, you know, all these issues. And Jesus wasn't doing that in a way that they could perceive because they didn't understand Jesus comes two times. And when Jesus came the first time, he was prepping for his second ministry, the second time that he would come. But you can believe the Bible is true and the things that are written about what Jesus will do, he will in fact do. He hadn't done them yet though. So when we read verses like this one, it's prophesying about those that are going to go on before the Lord. It's two generations. It's the generation that he came the first time, and it's the generation that he comes the second time. And that's the one that we're interested in. Isaiah 40, 3 through 10, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. There's never been a time in human history where all people have seen the glory of the Lord, but it's coming. And that glory will show itself in awesome ways and also destructive ways. And it will all be the glory of the Lord. All people together will see it. That's never happened before. And there are going to be those crying out, prepare the way for the Lord. He's coming back. There's going to be companies of people all throughout the earth because it's a big planet. And there's people living all over, and God wants all of them to have the voice crying out to them, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Prepare the way for Jesus. But the only way those voices are going to be able to cry out is if they've been thinking about it. The only way those voices are going to be able to cry out is if they've got a little bit of clarity, if they understand, they're perceiving, we're actually in the hour before Jesus returns. Again, 10 years, 50, I don't know. Generation. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. His reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. This passage in Isaiah 40, it was a little bit about John the Baptist. It was big time about those that would be voices in the last generation before Jesus comes and reveals himself to all mankind, okay? Luke 3, just describing John, Luke 3, 2 through 6, the word of God came to John. That's an important phrase. It wasn't the Bible came to John. John already had access. He was the son of a priest. John already had access to the full Bible at that hour. Okay, he had access to everything that there was. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the prophetic utterance, the leading of the Holy Spirit. You, John, are one of these forerunners. I need you to be my messenger in your generation. That's what this means when it says the word of God came to John in the wilderness. And what did he do with that commissioning? What did he do with what the Holy Spirit spoke to him? He went into all the country and around the Jordan preaching, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him, and all the people will see God's salvation. John was a forerunner who, just like you, was a human. Was a normal person. And John got the word of the Lord to his heart. Oh my gosh, I'm living in a very important hour. The Messiah is going to be alive. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is my cousin. The Messiah is on the planet. And John was messed up by that. Can you imagine having the revelation? The Messiah is on the planet. What do we do about that? How do we respond differently? We can't live like the Jokers did 20 years ago. It's not that hour anymore. We've got to live in light of the reality the Messiah has come. And Jesus had not yet begun his ministry. And John began to proclaim, he's coming, his work is coming, let's prepare the way for him. But just think about John's voice made it to 10,000 people, 50,000 people. I don't know how many thousands, but it wasn't millions. John didn't have an audience of millions. But John was just the dress rehearsal for what's coming. The end of the age where there's going to be a whole lot of people, and I would even say a whole lot of ministries, that the word of God comes to. And they feel the revelation. We're living in a unique hour. We need to begin to start getting clarity. Let's start asking ourselves some of the same questions John the Baptist asked him. What do I do with this? What a great question to begin to ask. How do I respond? What does this even look like? What is a right way to deal with this? And what are the 52 stupid things not to do? Okay? What dumb things should I not do? That's a great question to ask the Lord. Okay? Help me not do anything stupid. Because I think there's actually a lot of people that are doing some silly things that are not particularly helpful, though in their heart they might really believe the right thing, but I think some of the expression of what's coming out is not that helpful. Let's be helpful. God, help us to be helpful. Help us to have clarity about how we can be helpful. It's important right now. My hope this morning is that at some level, all of us are being struck by the hour that we're living in. We're being struck by it. We're being stung by it a little bit. Like, this is important. This is something I can't ignore. This is either a crazy story that's like really, really, really off and like a demonic distraction, or it's true, and in either case, you can't respond neutrally. I mean, if it's just a big lie, then we need to lynch me, okay? But if this is true, we need to learn like how to respond. We need to go, Lord, what do I do with this? It's a kind of a message. It's a kind of a reality that demands a response from us. And again, I wish I had more clarity to tell you exactly what that looks like. Grasping with what's required of us. Let me just give you a few practical points and we'll close out. A few practical points on what we're trying to do as a congregation. We're preaching this morning, but this isn't new. This isn't like we just started believing this last week. Okay, we've been believing this for 15 years or whatever, okay? And trying to do the best we can to start to set up some systems, some ideas, some ways to get us engaged more in the storyline. I'm going to tell you what a couple of those things are to kind of give you some practical points. It's one of the reasons that we're every week, we're calling you to get involved in the corporate prayer meeting that's going down the street, where the body of Christ is crying out to the Lord day and night for his purposes in this generation, for revival to come, and for clarity about what's happening in this generation. It's one of the reasons we're encouraging you every week to go get plugged in over at the prayer room. Because we know part of the way that we're going to get ready is we're going to pray together and we're going to get clarity as we do so. That's part of the reason that we're pushing that issue of go get involved at the prayer room. Because while we don't have time to gather around here all the time, there is a group down the street that's representative of the body of Christ, not just Forerunner Fellowship. It's representative of people from 100 different churches that are crying out together, trying. I mean, maybe it's a weak reach, but it's a reach. And a weak reach is way better than nothing. A weak reach crying out, God, give us clarity. Bring revival. Help us to be ready for revival. Oh, God, help us to know the word. Help us, help this stuff not seem so weird to us. Help us to get the revelation that, like John, we're living in a generation that is unique. That's part of the reason we're calling you to that. Part of the reason we're calling you to the equipping programs that we're doing over at the prayer room is we've developed some equipping programs, the internships, the worship academy that we just started yesterday. Part of the reason we're calling you into those programs is we've got like 40 minutes together on Sunday mornings after worship, all right? Those programs are lots and lots of hours of equipping and training and dialogue and relationships in order to go deeper into this message, deeper into this conversation. That's the reason we're doing those equipping programs and the reason we're calling you to get involved in those programs, because they're equipping. It's a next level amount of equipping that we can offer you that we can't offer you here on Sunday mornings in, you know, whatever amount of time that we've got. It's inappropriate to even try. But we've got a way to help equip you. That's part of the reason we're offering those programs. It's one of the reasons we're constantly talking about the need for us to learn how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, to discern the Holy Spirit, discern his will. What does he want? What's he saying? To have a real prayer life. You could call it that. To have an actual prayer life. To have a real relationship where you actually hear what the Lord's saying and his leadership and him speaking. Because we're living in a generation where it's going to be so important that we are led of the Holy Spirit. I want to give you just a little picture. I spent some time in Africa as a missionary. And I am so incredibly thankful that I spent a season of time before I went into the mission field like spending a lot of time trying to hear the voice of the Lord. A lot of time on my face in prayer. Because there were, I mean, 30 times. It wasn't five. There were 30 times, or a ton, I don't know the number, where I needed to hear the voice of the Lord in that moment, or I was going to be in deep trouble 1 minute later. There were a ton of times where I needed the Lord to nudge me and go, you better not go down that street. Do not go down that street. And then I'd go down a different street, and I'd find out what was down that street, and I'd be like, oh, man, I'm glad I didn't go down that street. Might not have been coming home today. There were so many times. But knowing how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit is a safeguard. He's God. He lives in us. He's the safest one to listen to. He's way safer to listen to than you or me. He's like really smart. But we've got to learn how to hear his voice. We've got to learn how to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. Another reason we're saying sign up for prayer meetings over at the prayer room. Sit in a room for 2 hours a week and go, oh God, help me hear you. Oh God, help me hear you. What a great thing to do. Until you start to hear him. These are just some of the tools that we're trying to offer in order to take some steps in this conversation. How do we be a forerunner church? What does it mean to live in this generation? What is the Lord asking of us? Practically, how do we respond? We've made a ton of resources available. And one of the reasons that we're doing that is because we don't really know how to answer this question. How are we a forerunner church? I don't know. I know that we are. I know that it matters. I know that it's important that we talk about it. I know it's important that we say it. I know it's important that all of us looked confused and then try to work through that confusion and take a step into understanding. I know it's all important, but we don't have a ton of clarity yet. But the only way you get clarity is by realizing you don't have it and then trying to do something about it. And trying to do something about it honestly. And even if you're not doing it awesome, trying. Because the Lord responds to that humility. And so I want to invite us into the dialogue. As a congregation, we believe the whole Bible. We also believe that we're living in a very unique hour. And we believe that we have a specific assignment. And that assignment is to be a forerunner fellowship. And we don't really know what that means. And we're trying to figure it out. And some of the ways that we're trying to figure it out, I just listed. And so I wanted for us to do this 3 weeks. I wanted us to spend a few weeks talking about what this means. And again, as a bottom line, just trying to go get us to a point where we're a bit agitated by our lack of understanding. Lack of understanding about the generation we're living in. Lack of understanding about what the heck I'm talking about. Lack of understanding about how to be a forerunner fellowship. To get that ache to cause us to do something about it. And mostly it's pray. Mostly it's pray and ask the Holy Spirit for some leadership.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.